877-217-5757. We switch gears and move to the man at the Capitol, a deserted Capitol, Mark Ballard. These days we can hear birds chirping because he's out trolling the Capitol grounds or somewhere else nearby. And he is still, as we know, an avid reporter in addition to being an editor of The Advocate. And today Mark has a story. Let's start with LSU looking at possible budget cuts. That's no big secret, but how substantial could these cuts be, Mark Ballard?
Well, we still don't know quite what the budget is going to look like. I mean, with the severance taxes being suspended yesterday, that's going to impact the annually about $500 million, but that's definitely going to impact the bottom line. The sales taxes, we're not going to know for... We should know within a week or so what March was like, but remember that, you know, about half of March was there a shutdown. The April numbers are going to be really substantially low, I predict.
Well,
so President Galligan was telling the faculty that he doesn't know for sure, but he can guarantee that it's going to be a very tight budget for LSU, and he was really speaking for all of higher education.
Well, story from a fellow who works with you, Bryn Stoll, who's been on our show. His daily deaths from the coronavirus in Louisiana appear to have plateaued. U.S. Representative Clay Higgins of Lafayette has once again taken to the Internet to denounce emergency stay-at-home orders as a betrayal of our constitutional freedoms and demands that restrictions be lifted at the beginning of next month. Clay Higgins... As Lanny Keller of The Advocate called him, a poor man's John Wayne, a low-rent John Wayne. I don't want to misquote Lanny. A low-rent John Wayne. Clay Higgins wants us to be backing up a week from tomorrow. Is that feasible?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to see a lessening of the restrictions starting on Monday. At least it'll be announced next week, I'm thinking. I mean, that's kind of what we're hearing. But it's not going to be a full backing up because there are concerned about another spike in cases. We've been kind of going down a little bit, though some of the outlying parishes are picking up. But overall, the trend has been going down, and they don't want to cause that spike. Congressman Higgins is speaking for a small but vocal and angry minority that is just, you know, thinks that this was all kind of a hoax or overblown.
And in Acadiana, that area has not been hit as hard by this as other parts of the state. So his constituents probably feel a bit differently about it than, say, people in the greater New Orleans area.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And he, at the end of all of this campaign, he's been sending out send me money requests as well. So, I mean, I think that also plays a role in it.
But he's a guy who's almost certainly going to be reelected. I think you said it last week, and I saw a story in The Advocate about this being a great time for incumbents. The mayor-president of Baton Rouge, who will be with us Monday, she was expected to have a competitive race, and it looks like it'll be very hard to unseat somebody unless they're really messing up badly. And most of the attention will be on the presidential election. In Louisiana, very little will be on the U.S. Senate race with William Morgan Cassidy being opposed, but not opposed by anybody with a lot of resources. Antoine Pierce, the young man who's running against him, is a sincere fellow, but you got to have money. And can you imagine if you were a candidate trying to raise money right now, Mark?
Yeah, I think that it's very difficult to raise money right now. I mean, it's just everybody's on tightened budgets, and with what 350,000 people unemployed right now. I mean, I just can't imagine it easy to get those $5,000 checks.
Well, the story from Sam Carlin in today's Advocate, Above the Fold, Louisiana is moving closer to meeting 14-day trends recommended by the White House to begin reopening. Governor Edwards plans a Monday announcement, you mentioned it, for what coronavirus-induced restrictions on businesses and residents will look like on May 1st. What's your anticipation? Is there any way to know?
Well, no, I don't think so. For the people that we've been talking to that are involved in those meetings are saying that every single day, almost every hour, there's been a change in the statistics that they're looking at to make those decisions. I think we're going to see medical procedures reopen, you know, and I think that's going to be part of it. I think that we are going to be wearing masks when we go out in public. That's just a gut feel, but I don't know. He's asking the reporters that attend those meetings, and Sam is the one for the Advocate, to start wearing masks when they attend the meetings.
Will he start wearing a mask?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
we had to scramble around to find one.
Well,
for
I'm talking
him,
about
yes.
The governor of Louisiana.
Oh, no, he's not going to wear a mask. So,
Dan downtown. Let's go to Dan downtown, has been waiting patiently. Dan, you're on with Mark. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, have the Republican legislators decided to meet with their corporate lobbyist paymasters at a new site now that Ruth Chris has refused to return all that taxpayer money?
I think there are a lot of sites where lobbyists meet with lawmakers, not just Ruth Chris. But, Mark, that's one of the PPP stories about Ruth Chris. But some of these big entities, and Ruth Chris has become a huge entity, and we should be proud that a Louisiana restaurant chain is one of the most popular in America. But in a case like this, when they put a $2 trillion package together in a few days, they're bound to be some loopholes, and sure enough, this is no exception. We're finding people who were flush with cash, who are getting some of the goodies, and I think under the circumstances, Congress did, if they were going to go this route, some would say it's not a prudent way to go because it amounts to socialism, but under the circumstances, they did about the best they could at this time.
Yeah, I think so, and I think we're going to find, and I think there'll be stories about this, you know, of this or that entity getting money. Harvard got a large criticism about the money that it received, you know, but I think we're going to be seeing that from now on because it was very difficult to throw together such a package that, you know, I would contend is necessary when given, 25% unemployment.
877-217-5757. Back with Mark Ballard in 2 minutes. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Mark Ballard with us, and the President of the United States, I think to his credit, noted that Harvard should not be getting a PPP check. Harvard's endowment, $41 billion. $41 billion. LSU's is well below $1 billion. 877-217-5757. Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, hey, I was wondering, has there been any talk about the courts reopening? And I realize the governor is the executive branch, so he may not have much control over the courts being a judicial branch, but who reopens the courts? I don't know if you know the answer to that question.
All right, Mark. Who would have the authority to open up a district court in Baton Rouge where landlords like Patrick can start evicting people?
Well, I think that is that each individual court can make that decision, but the overall oversight of that is the Louisiana Supreme Court, and that they are talking about reopening courts so that Patrick can evict folks sometime midway through the month of May.
Midway through the month of May. So
right.
I was at Louis this morning eating my breakfast on the bench outside after ordering inside, and JR, a regular patron, he said to me, "says this has been a tough 3 months." And I said, 3 months? This went into place on March 16th. So I said, we're talking a month and 7 days. So feels like 3 months, but we may have it for a little while longer, and under the circumstances, I suppose it's understandable. I think that it probably would be prudent not to take any great chances. Let's go to Rita in Iberville. Rita, you're on with Mark.
Hi. I was calling to see about the governor talking about face masks, and there's supposedly a shortage. Where is the individual citizen to get a mask?
Okay. where do people go to get masks? Other than Matt says he made his own.
Yeah, I think that, well, you can make your own, but I think they're working that out right now. It's the shortages are for masks and that sort of thing are being worked on even as we speak. Over at LSU, for instance, they've got an assembly team that is putting together, 1,000 gowns a day is what they're telling us. So the governor, has not said everyone's going to have to wear face masks yet, but I imagine that that's one of the issues that is going into a decision like that, is that you're going to have to start wearing a face mask, but we're also going to have to be able to have them available. And so right now, I mean, I can't tell you where the citizens can go and get them, because they're not on the shelves, at least at my local Walgreens, but they should be soon. And certainly will have to be before, there's any kind of directive that we have to wander around with face masks on.
Larry Bankston, fine attorney and former state lawmaker, says, I'm not sure if the local Chris's franchise got money, but he says it is just as local as Jubin's or Mansour's. That is a locally owned franchise and just happens to have the name Chris's on it. And it'd probably be unfair to the owner, who I think his name now is Chris, the gentleman who succeeded Tom Moran, to pounce on him. But these restaurants are suffering, as we heard last week from Clark Cadzo and Stephanie Ferries, and we heard earlier from Jimmy Weatherford at Louis. They're suffering tremendously because those most restaurants don't operate on great margins, and you can imagine how it is in this environment when your business is down 70% to 80%.
Well, even yesterday I went to get lunch at Anthony's on Government Street. I love the place. But I noticed that when I walked out of there that my bill was substantially lower than it normally is when I go into the restaurant and decide at the moment to, let me get a tiramisu for dessert, and I'll get a bag of chips, let me buy a little bit of pasta that they have on the shelves there, and that, I think, is where they're suffering most, because basically we bought the sandwich and left,
All right, breakfast for champions. For Mark Ballard, who, at this time, I think you can truly call it comfort food. It is great to go to a place you like and to see people you like and have them serve meals that you appreciate. 877-217-5757, Ben in Lafayette. Hi, Ben. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So one thing that I haven't heard any definitive answers to is, even though they talk a lot about flattening the curve, whether flattening the curve is going to have any reduction in the total area under the curve. And what I mean by that is all these measures that we're taking that are crippling our economy and putting people out of work, is that in the end, when all is said and done, going to actually reduce the number of people who get sick from this?
Is it going to reduce the number of people who get sick, what we've done? The overall number, Mark, maybe not, but I think this was designed to keep from a flood of victims going to emergency rooms and not being able to get treatment. But
that is exactly what the flattening of the curve is about, is to keep our healthcare system from being overwhelmed and, ending up with patients dying in hallways because there's no place to put them.
And it does appear that those conditions at hospitals are better now. But are they sufficient, if we have this so-called second wave, are they sufficient to withstand this? And imagine, talk about the heroes, and we mentioned it before, but these medical personnel who are truly risking their lives and continuing to work and under enormous pressure, and over time, that takes a toll. Can they withstand this for months and months and months?
I sure hope so, because I think we're going to be dealing with it for months and months and months. I think this is part of, and the part of the answer is that the governor and his people don't know what they're trying to determine based on modeling and statistics, that to keep that curve underneath where it's going to overwhelm the hospitals. And And that's what they're trying to determine, I mean, right now, even as we speak, of whether or not opening this or that type of business is going to lead to more infections. So, but, I mean, once we open up, there's no doubt there's going to be more infections.
Story today in the New York Times, stars of Fox News promoted a malaria drug for weeks, no longer. For a month stretch, the Fox News star Laura Ingraham relentlessly promoted the malaria drug hydroxychloroquine to her nearly 4 million nightly viewers. The drug was a game changer in the fight against the coronavirus. The conservative anchor declared this. She booked recovered patients to describe their miracle turnaround, like Lazarus, up from the grave, as Miss Ingraham put it. Anyone who questioned the drug's efficacy she said, in total denial. I love everybody, love the medical profession, the host said on April 3rd, but they want a double-blind controlled study on whether the sky is blue. But as of Wednesday of last week, Laura Ingraham is no longer talking about this drug. She hasn't brought it up on her show since, and studies, and albeit the studies are spotty, show that the drug may be causing more harm than help. It is amazing how some of these people who are like you and me, they weren't trained to be talking about these things with authority. They act as though they've spent their whole life dealing with epidemiology.
Well, yeah, I get it. And that's how they get listeners or watchers in her case. I mean, you know, that's, it's just part of the media world that we live in. And I mean, I think that you're seeing a lot of Fox and OAN and Breitbart doing a kind of backpedaling over what they had originally been reporting about the virus, and they've been backpedaling as more and more people died.
Well, I mentioned a little earlier in the show that probably within the next week or two we will have more deaths in the United States of Americans from coronavirus than we did from Americans in the Vietnam War. And that is a sobering number. It is 57,000, apparently, is the number that is now generally accepted for the number of American casualties in Vietnam. We have almost 50,000 people who have died of coronavirus, and that number is going to go up. And, Mark, I remember Anthony Fauci not so long ago said it could go up over 200,000, and unfortunately, he may be right.
He just might be. He just might be. And even at Vietnam numbers, for me, I mean, and perhaps for you as well, I mean, I had relatives who died in Vietnam. And so, I mean, I think that what we're ending up with will be a lot of people knowing people who have actually perished because of the coronavirus pandemic. And I think that'll be a game changer when it gets down, well, at least as politics are concerned.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week, and come Monday, as mentioned, the mayor will be with us, but Governor John Bel Edwards will have to make a call, and he has been reticent to take any real chances. I would imagine this will be a very soft rollout if it happens at all, Mark.
That's my gut feeling. I mean, I think it's going to be a soft rollout, and it's going to be tentative. They're going to be very nervous about it because they'll be watching those numbers very closely.
And tomorrow in Georgia, the governor, Brian Kemp, who earns $175,000 a year, by the way, the Republican governor, is opening up gyms and barbershops. And come Monday in Atlanta, if you want to travel to the great city in Georgia, you can go to a restaurant. Mark, thanks. We'll call on you next Thursday. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you much, Jim.
Support from Brian Lowe Financial.